Today is a day of remembering. We will remember our loved ones that are no longer with us. We will give thanks for their lives and the impact that they had on the world around us and on our very lives as well. And a little later in our time of worship, we're going to be sharing memories of the men and women, the saints that helped to build this faith community. And in this season of gratitude, we're going to be focusing on the miracles of God's presence. God's presence in that are everywhere in our lives. The trouble is that we see the miracles in the Bible. We've read them. You know, Jesus was doing miracles every day. And we think, why can't God do miracles today like God did back then? And I think that we too easily dismiss the possibility that God can and God does perform miracles daily in our midst. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about where we see God's miracles, miracles in our past and miracles in our present, and where might God perform miracles in the future of our faith community. And our passage this morning comes from the letter to Hebrews. I'll be reading from Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. But before we move forward in the scripture, I want to encourage you to, oh, if you can find the Hebrews, turn back to Hebrews 11. Turn back to Hebrews 11 in the Bible. It's in the New Testament. It's towards the end. And I want you to take a look at, because what happens is the writer of Hebrews in the passage before today's passage is going to be talking about the faith of our ancestors, our biblical ancestors, our ancestors in the Jewish faith. And he talks about the faith of Abel and Enoch and Noah. And then he talks about the faith of Abraham and Sarah and the faith of their children, of Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. And then he talks about the faith of Moses and even talks about the faith of a prostitute named Rahab. And then he talks about the faith of Samuel and David and the prophets. All of these ancestors that have paved the way for our faith, they have given us a witness in their lives for how we might live out this faith that we've been called to. So our epistle this morning, our letter this morning, comes from the book of Hebrews, and I'm going to be reading Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. Hear now God's word. As you listen to this read, I want to ask you to begin to think about the saints in your own lives. And if you've got a rock in your hand, maybe hold on to that rock as you think about this. The saints that nurtured your faith, the people that came before you, that led you to the place where you stand today, I want you to think about that. As you hear this scripture read, hear now God's word. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you might not grow weary or lose heart. God's word for us this morning. Thanks be to God. My son Mark and I were in the car talking about All Saints Day. And he said to me, Mom, the Methodist Church doesn't have saints. That doesn't sound good, does it? Why are we celebrating? We don't have saints. There's no saints. We don't pray to saints. There's no saints. And while it is true, the United Methodist Church does not canonize, we have no canonization process for our saints. We do not require proof of some miracle in order for you to be considered a saint. We do acknowledge the power to do good and the power to do evil is in each one of us, just like I talked with the kids this morning. We have the ability to be saints, and yet we struggle with the very reality that we are also sinners and saints. Some religious traditions like to distinguish between the saints, the ones who obey God's will, and then the sinners, the ones who disobey, and others set apart saints as super holy people. And regular Christians like me and you, well, we aren't particularly bad, but we haven't done anything extraordinarily enough to be called saints. And so the idea of being called a saint, we usually shy away from. Because if we're saints, then maybe we might have to continue doing good things, or maybe we won't live up to that title of saint. But being a saint isn't about what I do or don't do, but who I am in relationship to God. I'm going to say that again because I think it's really important. Being a saint isn't what I do or what I don't do, but who I am in relationship to God. And that's also true of being a sinner. At the core, it is an issue of trust. Adam and Eve's problem wasn't that they ate a piece of fruit or that they broke one of God's rules, although that's what we like to believe. Oh, when did the sin occur? That's the question we always ask in Bible study. What was the point when the sin occurred? Was it when she took the bite of the fruit? Or was it when they went to the tree that they weren't supposed to go to? But you see, that wasn't the sin. The sin for Adam and Eve was that they wanted to be like God. That they wanted to rely on their judgment rather than trusting God's word. Martin Luther, he describes Christians as simultaneously saint and sinner. And he redefines the word saint as a forgiven sinner. Wow. A saint is a forgiven sinner. We are called saints not because we change into something different, but because our relationship with God changes as a result of God's grace. Our relationship changes as a result of God's grace. When we give our whole selves to God, God can move in amazing ways. And it is our sin that keeps us from trusting God with our lives. We talked about that last week. We don't want to go into the deep because we're afraid we won't be able to tread water. We're afraid we'll sink. And we stop trusting that God's got it. God is in control. But sin tells us, no, we've got to stand on our own two feet. We've got to handle it. Sin leads us away from God's promise and God's purpose. When we think of saints, we are often reminded of people like Saint Teresa, who gave her life to work with people, the poor, on the streets of India. She gave everything. And I don't know if you remember, it was really hard for her to become a saint, which again, I feel really, well, if Saint Teresa can't become a saint, there's no luck for any of us. Or Nelson Mandela, who spent most of his life behind bars in order to enact change in his country of South Africa. Or maybe it's the vision of Dr. Martin Luther King or whoever it is, we all have people in our mind when we think of saints, who the saints are. People who didn't count the cost. People who trusted God and placed their lives behind those so other people's lives were more important than their own. God's will was more important. These are the people that we think of as saints, but you know, there are saints around us now. They may never be as famous as Saint Teresa or Nelson Mandela, but each one of them are saints. Each one of us can name saints, people that we know that work really hard to make a difference in the world around us. Maybe they're mothers, or maybe they are grandfathers, or sisters, or aunts, or neighbors, or church leaders, or community workers, or first responders, people whose witness helped to shape your faith. It is their witness that inspires us to trust God more fully. When we see what God can do through them, we think, you know what, God, maybe you'll take care of me as well as I step into the deep. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, that we might run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us. The writer of Hebrews is reminding the congregation that this faith journey is not a solitary journey. You are not on a solitary journey of faith. We stand on the shoulders of those that have come before us. It is because of their sacrifice. It is because of their compassion and their service and their call for justice in our world and their prayer and their dedication. It is because of all of this that we are able to stand where we are able to stand today. Can I get an amen to that? So who are the saints that have encouraged you to run the race with perseverance? I asked you to hold the stone before. Who are the saints? Whose witness inspired you to trust God more fully? Whose shoulders have lifted you up to see more than you thought was ever possible? My answer has always been my mother. And not because she was perfect, because she wasn't. And not because she's no longer here. I know we tend to do that. When people pass away, we all of a sudden they become saints to us. We forget all the things that wasn't so good. But I don't think I choose my mom because she's no longer here with me. I think if my mother was sitting here today, I would say, my mother. She is the saint in my life. It is on her shoulders that I stand. And what I learned from my mother was the value of human life. That each person that we meet is created and loved by God. Each person that we meet is created and loved by God. There is no hierarchy in God's love. I am not loved because of how good I am. I am not loved because I make the right choices all the time. I am loved because I am. I am a child of God. I am created by God's love, and I am created to be God's love. This is what my mother taught me. It is why I consider her the saint in my life. So who are your saints? Who are the saints? Maybe they're still alive. Maybe they're sitting right next to you today. Later in the service, Nick Nichols is going to be lifting up the names of the saints that helped build this faith community. And he will talk about their service and their dedication, their gifts, and their hospitality. You see, UMCNB has been blessed. Blessed by many saints that give so freely of their time and their talents and their prayers. Yes, thank you, Celia. Their prayers and their gifts and their service and their witness. They have taught our children and our grandchildren. They have helped develop community outreach like Elijah's promise. They have led Bible studies and youth retreats. They have tirelessly worked to be good stewards of our building, and they've reached out to the students in our local community, the students from Rutgers and from the colleges in our area. They have mailed cards to the sick and shut in. They have visited those in need. They have cooked more meals than you can even begin to imagine. They have packed and gathered food for more Thanksgiving baskets than we can count. These saints have spoken out against oppression and injustice in our world. They have slept overnight here for the men's shelter so that men in our community don't have to sleep in the cold. They have stepped in when disasters occurred and given both financially and hands-on support. I could go on and on about the work of the saints in this faith community. The saints that are here and the saints that have gone before us. The United Methodist Church at New Brunswick has been blessed with many saints. We stand in this place because of their dedication and because of their love. But brothers and sisters, it is now our turn. What will our witness be for future generations? What is our testimony yet to be shared? What young lives will be changed through Sunday school or youth group in both our present and our future? What worship experiences will incite and impassion the heart and minds of our members to go out and be the hands and feet of Jesus? How might our facility here in New Brunswick, in the heart of the city, be a home for those, a beacon for those in desperate need? Sisters and brothers, you are already a great cloud of witnesses. Hello, saints. Hello. No, you don't have to call me saint. Just acknowledge that you're saints. Hello, saints. Respond back. Hello. That's a... You are a great cloud of witnesses, and I feel blessed to call this my church home. From your dedication to our children and youth and your passion for music and worship and your thirst for Bible study and the many hands that share in mission and connect to our world around us, you are a great cloud of witnesses. And so today we give thanks for the great cloud of witnesses that are here and those that have gone before us. The act of naming is a sacramental act. Every time I baptize a newborn, we name that child. God spoke and we were created, and there's something very powerful about naming. So today, we are going to be naming the saints in our church, the ones that are no longer with us. First, we will lift up those that have passed away from this faith community over the last year. And after each name is given, there will be a bell rung. And then you're invited to lift up names. Names of those in your own faith journey that have nurtured you. When we come up for communion, you still have those rocks too. But I also wanted to tell you... on our altar here, I'm going to grab this. On our altar, you'll see there are 13 stones. And the 13 stones represent the 11 men and women that were killed in the synagogue over a week ago. And the two, the husband and wife, the couple from Kentucky, that was killed due to hatred and violence, anti-Semitism and racism that still exists in our world. And in the Jewish faith, if you've ever been to a funeral service, they will take rocks and they'll put them on the tombstone as a sign that you have been there to pay your respect. So when you come up for communion, I want you to hold on to that stone. We are not, the families are going to be coming up to light the candles, but our stones will be our way of representing the people, the saints in your life that you're remembering and giving thanks for. I want to use a poem that was actually a part of something that I heard in a podcast this week. But Oprah Winfrey was talking about a time that she had invited some women to her house, and they had lifted up and spoke the names, the people, the women that had come before, that had powerfully shaped them in their own journeys of faith. I'm not going to read the whole poem, but I'm going to read the end of that poem because I think it speaks to what we were talking about today. We are here to speak your names because of the way you made for us, because of the prayers that you prayed for us. We are the ones you conjured up, hoping that we would have strength enough and discipline enough and talent enough and nerve enough to step into the light when it turned in our direction and just smile a while. We are the ones you hoped would make you proud because of all our hard work makes all of yours part of something better and truer and deeper. Something that lights the way ahead like a lamp unto our feet. As steady as the unforgettable beat of our collective heart. We speak your names. We speak your names. And so, sisters and brothers, today we will speak the names of the saints as our young saints come in to join us.